as we look at the beginning of verse 11 of 1 John 5, it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." And what greater gift than the gift of life? And certainly, the greatest life is eternal life. And we often think of eternal life in the sense of duration, a life that will continue forever. And certainly that's a part of it. But the main idea of eternal life is not its duration, but that it is a new quality and kind of life. The fact that it's the life of God in the soul of man, a spiritual life from God. And we said that it's the restoration to the union and favor and fellowship and enjoyment of God. And certainly that is a great gift. And no one else could convince me that I have eternal life but God Himself. And that's what this record is meant to do. It's the record that God has given to us eternal life. Who are us? We are the ones that believe on the Son of God. We're on the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. Those who believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe, God, He says, has given. In other words, we even now have as a present possession as believers this eternal life that is found in Christ. And we were saying last time that we have passed out from under sin's condemnation into the justification of life. How Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but hath passed from death unto life." We came out from the death of sin into the life of God in Jesus Christ. We've been made alive in Christ. And He is our life. And God gives us the Scripture to tell us that if we have trusted in His Son for our salvation, He has given to us this gift, this wonderful gift. And we have, even now already, as believers in Christ, eternal life. In other words, we have been reinstated to the life and favor of God, and that forever. Psalm 30 and verse 5, we're told there, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life." In the favor of God is the life of the soul of man. And of course, by sin, we came out of God's favor. We were separated from God and came under His wrath. And now, by salvation in Christ, we are brought out from sin. Our sins are forgiven. We're restored to God's favor and fellowship. We are placed in a righteous position before Him so that we can know God and enjoy Him forever. That's what Ephesians 1:6 tells us. What has God done for us? Well, we are now through Christ to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We come back into God's acceptance, into God's love, back into God's favor and fellowship through Christ, His Son. And now we're delivered not only from the guilt of sin and the wrath of God, so that God pardons us and accepts us in Christ, but we're delivered from the power of sin so that we can live a life of holiness and walk in fellowship with God. Because God is holy, then we are to be holy as He is holy, for we cannot walk together except we be agreed. Romans in chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, because of the power and dominion of sin in our lives, in our unregenerate state, when we're in the flesh, we're dead to God. But through faith in Christ, by the application of His death, by His Spirit, we now become dead to sin and alive to God. And we're to reckon it to be so by faith. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or as living is to be able to live out from under sin's power. Live a life free from sin. That is true living. Sin is our misery and our death. Salvation and sanctification brings joy and peace and life. Life in God and life where sin no longer is to reign in our mortal body. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you if you're not under the law, but under grace. Right? Reinstated to God's favor, delivered from the power of sin, to live a life of holiness, and then we have the promise of dwelling in the presence of God forever. John 14, in verse 3, Jesus gives this great promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, where is he? Well, he's gone back to the Father, back to heaven. And he's going to come again to take his people to be with him, with his Father, in his Father's house, at the Father's right hand. And Psalm 16, verse 11, tells us what it will be like to be in the immediate presence of God, fully delivered from sin forever, enjoying perfect fellowship with God. Nothing ever again to cloud that fellowship or produce any distance between us and God. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." And of course, Jesus went on in John 14 to say that He is that way. I am the way of life, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it says, in thy presence, in God's presence, is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. All right, pleasures forevermore. He's going to take us to the Father's house where there are pleasures forevermore. Well, how long will we be able to enjoy those pleasures? What's Psalm 23:6 say? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what a life in fellowship with God consists of. Enjoying His goodness and mercy. And here's the consummation of that life. It only gets better. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. He has. Well, how has He given it to us? Where has He given it to us? How may I have this life? And this life, John goes on to say, is in His Son. In other words, it comes in, by, and with Christ. We receive it in receiving Christ. It's in His Son. It's nowhere else to be found. In other words, the only way to have this eternal life that God has given us is to have His Son. And to have His Son is to have this eternal life because it comes in with and by Him. And it's part of what He gives those who receive Him. That's what he's saying here. It's in his Son. You want it? Come to him. Remember, the Gospel of John said many things about this. Well, Jesus talked about how he is the resurrection and the life. And whosoever believeth on him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes on him would never die. John 1:4, it talks about how Christ, it says, in him was life. In him was life. That's where it is. And that's the only place we can have it. And it says the life was the light of men. And again, men in sin are without this life and they're in darkness. But the light shineth in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. In him was life. Now why did he come down as a man bringing life? He came for one reason. To give up that life. To lay it down as a sacrifice for sin. John chapter 10. As God, from eternity, he had life in himself. He became a man, and in the man, the Christ Jesus was life. Not for himself, life for us. And then in John 10, he tells us why he brought this life down. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. As he had the power to give up his life voluntarily in sacrifice for his people, he had the power to restore that life, to raise himself up again from the dead. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Why did he lay it down and take it up again? So that he could have it to give to those who came to him for life. That's exactly why. In other words, unless that life was given up in death, our sin's penalty could not be paid. And unless that life was restored in resurrection, it could not be available to us. And unless Jesus was exalted to God's right hand to send the Spirit to impart that life, it would never come to us in regeneration and conversion. And that's what he did. He went to heaven. And he said in John 14, verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Because he lives, we live. Why? Because we're in him and he's our life. He lives in the power of an everlasting life. He's the one who was dead, and behold, he liveth, and that forevermore. And we in him live a life that is of the same duration as his, because it is his life, even forevermore. 1 Timothy 1:1. It tells us there that Jesus Christ is our hope. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And then you go to 2 Timothy 1:1, and it tells how he's our hope of life. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The promise of life is in him, and it's nowhere else to be found. Colossians 3 and verse 4 tells us the relation of Christ to us regarding this life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. He is our life. Our eternal life. Remember, 1 John started out with that very description of Christ. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. He's the word of life, and the life was manifested. Not just so that we could see what it was, but so that we could have it. And it says, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Right? The life was manifested. 1 John ends this way in chapter 5, verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come. And He hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now notice how He describes Christ. This is the true God. And eternal life. God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. We must believe on and receive the person of Christ in order to have eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the one true God. Well, what is the only way we can know the one true God? And Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. We must know Him in knowing His Son, and in knowing Him through His Son, in knowing God in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, we have eternal life. Notice, how do we know God? By coming to faith in Christ. 1 Timothy 1, Paul makes that wonderful statement, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Came to save us from our sins, that we might be delivered from the death of sin and receive life in God and be brought back to Him. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him. To what? What does believing on Him bring? Believe on Him to life everlasting. That's the way to come to have eternal life, is to believe on Christ and to be united to Him by faith. 1 John 5:12 brings these things out as clearly as it can possibly be stated. He that hath the Son hath life. Right. First necessity, we have to have the Son. And in having Him, we have life. What life? Eternal life. And why do we have it? Because this life is in His Son. And in having His Son, we have the life that is in Him. Well, how do we have the Son? First of all, God gives Him to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's giving the person of His Son to become a man, to die for our sins and to rise again the third day. But then, the flip side of that is receiving His Son. There's giving, receiving. And even that is not emphasizing man's part in salvation. Receiving just means God applies Christ to the heart of His elect. And in doing that, the person is given Christ. And so he receives Him from God as God's gift to him in His effectual calling. The Bible says, as many as received Him, as many as God gives His Son to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And as a son of God, we have the life of God and the nature of God. And I don't mean His divine nature, but He gives us a new heart and puts in us His Spirit and creates us anew in righteousness and true holiness and gives us a life that will be lived eternally in fellowship with Him. And so, he that hath the Son, he that has received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, has life. And he that has not the Son has not life, because this life cannot be had apart from Him. People try to find deliverance from their sin and its penalty. They try to attain to an acceptance with God and a right relationship to Him. They try to come to peace of heart and the assurance that their sins are forgiven and they have eternal life. And they try to find that in every way that they can think of. The only way they can have that is to have Christ. And we have Him by faith and repentance. And if we have not given up on our own efforts, our futile efforts to save ourselves and come to Christ and put our trust in Him alone, we don't have Him. We don't know Him. We are strangers to Him. We have no relationship with Him. We have no part in Him. And so we have not the life that only He can give. To be without Christ is to be separated from God in sin. Ephesians tells us this very clearly. We're all sinners. Because of it, we're spiritually dead. And until we come to Christ and receive forgiveness of sins in His blood, we continue dead. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Well, what was the greatest evidence we were dead? Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, outside of Christ. Life is in Him. You are outside of Him. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Why? Christ is our hope. And without God in the world. Without God in the world. Chapter 4, verse 18 says, "You had the understanding darkened, being alienated, estranged, cut off from, separated from the life of God." You were apart from Christ without His life through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And 1 Timothy 5:6 makes a very strong statement. Speaking of sensual women, says, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Those who live in sin are dead. Dead to God and separated from Him by sin. 1 John 2 summarizes it very clearly. Verse 22 says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." Notice, if you deny the Son, you do not have God. "But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning." In other words, hold fast to the truth of the gospel. "If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." And then what will I have in knowing the Father and the Son? And this is the promise that He hath promised us. Even eternal life. That's the promise to those who know Him and who have perseverance in faith and holiness in Him. So he that by faith is united with Christ, he is saved. And he is alive forevermore. While he that believeth not is lost, he's dead in sin, and he is going to eventually be eternally dead, forever separated from God in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Let's see some verses that again bring these things out. Romans 8. Life, the true definition of life. Life as God intended it. There's no life apart from God. So there's no one alive that's separated from God in sin. And all who are without Christ are separated from God in sin. True life as God meant it to be, a life in a knowledge of God and relation with Him, is life in Christ. Life in knowing Him and trusting in Him for salvation. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death. That's our natural, unregenerate state, death. But to be spiritually minded, that's our regenerate state. It is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. A life of sin and separation from God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ in you, our righteousness and our life. Notice Galatians 1. How does Christ come to be in us? Verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. He gives us Christ, and in giving us Christ, He opens our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, to see Him for who He is in all His saving glory and to trust in Him as such. Christ revealed in me. That's an internal revelation that comes when God opens our hearts and gives us faith and gives us His Son in an eternal, internal saving way. And in having Christ, we have the hope of eternal life. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known. That's God revealing His Son and the salvation He gives. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Eternal glory with God. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Titus chapter 1, it goes on there. It says, if we have the faith of God's elect and have acknowledged the truth which is after godliness, now we live in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We're in hope of that eternal life that God promised. And what is that hope? Christ in us. Christ in us how? Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. That is salvation. That is the way of eternal life. Now, as we sit here today, every one of us falls into one of two categories, and they're as clear as can be. There's no confusion or murkiness here. We either have the Son, Jesus Christ, dwelling in our hearts by faith, or we have not the Son of God dwelling in our hearts by faith. And if we have not faith in Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory, we have no life. We're dead. We don't know God. We're separated from Him. We're on our way to hell. That is the clearest thing that the Bible ever says. And if we have come to see our sin and to turn from it and to put our trust in Christ, believe on Him for salvation, that He died for us and rose again, and that we can have forgiveness through His blood. And if we have received Him as such, by faith, we have Him. He is now in us. And in having Him, we have life. In relation to God, as He explains or defines life, it's in knowing His Son as our Savior. And so, as God means life, we either have it, or we don't. If we don't, we're dead. If we do, we're alive forevermore. If we don't, we're separated from God and on our way to hell. If we do, we have fellowship with God and the sure hope of being in His presence forever. And what makes that difference? What is the great dividing line? Well, people are either saved or they're lost. They're either godly or they're wicked. They're either believers or they're unbelievers. We fall into one of those two categories. Either we have the Son and we have life. We have not the Son of God, we have not life. And I would have to say, as God says, why will you perish, O man? He sets before us the way of life, the way of death. Choose life that he may live. How do I choose life? Receive Christ. Come to him. Put your trust in him that you may live. He is the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. What is there about death and hell? What is there about sin and damnation that you would prefer over forgiveness and righteousness and the life and love of God for eternity? Can you tell me that's a better choice? I don't think so. And if it isn't, why make that choice? Why continue to not believe the record that God has given us of His Son? Why continue under His wrath and judgment when you can be forgiven and come under His pardon and favor and love and fellowship, which is what every man needs and what God intended men for and is the only true life worth living, the only good life, to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a clear, clear option. Don't make a bad choice, because that's a choice that will be regretted forever. Where to receive Christ is one that we will rejoice in and thank God for to all eternity. If you have not the Son, ask for Him, and God will give Him, and then you will have life through Him, and God will get the praise. Let's close in prayer.